Blog Talk Radio.
Are you due for a relationship makeover? If you had the power to wave a magic wand, would you use it to improve your relationship? Well, there may be some hope. You're about to embark upon a journey. A journey that may prove to be vital in improving your relationship, whether it be with your spouse, significant other, children, co-worker, family, friends, or even yourself. A journey that if you simply open your mind to desiring a positive change in your relationship by listening to this show, it just might happen. You're about to take a journey into the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. Warning, warning. The show can be contaminated.
Well, hello and welcome to this edition of the Dr. Jesse Walker Show. I'm your host. I'm Dr. Jesse Walker. I'm going to be with you for just over 60 minutes tonight, about 90 minutes we're looking at. And if you can stay with us during that time, we would greatly appreciate it. Of course, if you can't, we certainly do understand. It's so nice to have all of you all with us. We've got a deep show planned for you tonight, and I am just excited about it, and I trust that you are as well. You still have time. You still have time to call someone up and let them know that we're live here on tonight's show. And so we're asking that you all please, 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 please stay focused to tonight's programming and try to confine your comments to 20 seconds or less. If you think you might know the answer to something, by all means, you know, see if you can condense it. And if not, just give your opinion like we all do on the shows, and let's keep it moving. All right, let's go ahead and begin welcoming our various co-hosts to tonight's programming. And if you know somebody that wants to be on here, please call them up and let them know. We're going to bring, let's go ahead and welcome Ms. Shea. Ms. Shea, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Hello, everyone. I'm glad to be back today where Dr. Walker would not just be telling stories but changing lives.
Excellent. Thank you for that, Ms. Shea. We'll bring her back in momentarily and have her give our disclaimer for the evening. Let's go ahead and welcome Shield of Faith to tonight's broadcast. Shield of Faith, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I look forward to being on the show, and I just want to encourage everyone to get Dr. Walker's book if you haven't. Go to the website and grab that for gifts or to read yourself. It's really great. And I look forward to the topic tonight.
Excellent, excellent. Let's go ahead and bring in Darren Deedy. Darren Deedy, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for having me, and I'm looking forward to tonight's topic.
Okay, great to have you here. Let's go ahead and welcome Demon Slayer. Demon Slayer, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always good to have you.
Good afternoon, everybody. Good to be here today at the bowling alley right now. I'm whipping my two sons. Thank you.
Oh, okay. All right. Great. Glad to have you on here with us, and we wish you all the best at that. Let's go ahead and welcome Sparkles. Sparkles, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Always good to have you.
Good evening, Dr. Thank you. Good evening, Dr. Walker and co-host, and I'm looking forward to the show's topic tonight.
All right. Excellent. I think we've covered everyone for tonight. Ms. A, go ahead and give that disclaimer, if you would, please.
Okay. Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. and the Dr. Jesse Walker Show wish to make this disclaimer. The opinions that are expressed on tonight's show or any of Dr. Jesse Walker, Inc. shows or affiliate shows are merely the opinions of the host, Dr. Jesse Walker, his various co-hosts, his featured guests, listeners, and callers. We do not endorse any specific or otherwise opinion and indicate that your participation or listenership is not an endorsement for legal, psychological, financial, mental, professional, or otherwise advice and should not be taken as such. The opinions expressed are for educational and informational purposes only and should be perceived as such. Thank you, and please enjoy the program tonight.
All right, excellent. Thank you so very much for that, Ms. J. We certainly do appreciate that. Let's welcome the international preacher himself, Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, welcome to tonight's broadcast.
Dr. Walker, it's just great to be on, and I always have a great spirit of anticipation. Can't wait for one program to the others. And we're just so grateful, you know, for our global communities with 1,000 people viewing in, and to this great blog talk radio where we are changing lives and improving and restoring relationships. And Dr. Walker, we all want you to know that we appreciate your services that you are rendering, and your professionalism, your spiritual perspectives that's helping people to improve and change their lives. God bless you, and we just thank God for our entire global family that regularly attends our blog talk radio. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Thank you so much, Pastor World, for that, and I certainly appreciate each and every one of you all for your leadership roles and being a part of this program. Let me go ahead, and tonight's topic is, you know, we're dealing with looks. We're talking about looks tonight because we've been talking about this a lot on the various shows. Then we talk about shape and size. Okay, they may be the same. Nobody can determine their height. That's something that God gives us, our height. So, you know, our shape, maybe we could do something about that. But then our looks, I mean, come on now. If your parents weren't so gorgeous, then, I mean, should we expect anything different? Miss G, I want to begin with you because tonight's topic is, should looks, shape, or size, these three things, should they matter when it comes to a relationship? You know, Miss G, I mean, point blank is, let's start with one at a time. Should looks matter? Should looks matter, Miss G?
Well, you know, it probably should not matter, but it does, you know.
Okay.
A beautiful person that, you know, really, truly beautiful, they are looking for someone of similar likes and looks, you know, sometimes. Because I ain't going to talk about it. You can look at Beyonce and Jay-Z. I guess you can't say that. But I didn't mean to say that on the air. But but sometimes, usually, you know, beautiful looks are beautiful. But sometimes their personality can win them over, and money, too.
Okay. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We're going to add looks. Let's go to shape now. Darren Deedy, should shape matter when it comes to a relationship? Should shape matter?
Not really. It's more of a personality comparability. Two people that see each other's soul and look beyond any kind of physical.
All right. Okay. We're going to ask you to stand by, certainly stand by. Let's go to size. Pastor Rowe, should size matter? Should size matter when it comes to a relationship?
Well, I don't think it, you know, God can use what he want to use. And what came to my mind when you mentioned it, you know, when we looked at Goliath, he was big and sloppy, you know, and but he had a bad attitude toward people, God's people. But a little shepherd boy by the name of David was small, you know, and we know what happened, how David slew Goliath, you know. So it's not the size of how a person looked, but it is his attitude and relationship to God, and we should see all through the lens of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so, Pastor, I want to stay with you just for a second. You mentioned David and Goliath, but David wasn't trying to have a relationship with Goliath. David had a relationship with God, and David was out to slay Goliath. So tonight's topic we're talking about, should look, shape, or size matter when it comes to a relationship? So let me ask you that question again, Pastor Rowe, if you don't mind. Should size matter when it comes to a relationship?
No, I don't think appearances can be deceitful. It's not the size, it's not the shape. But long story short, and the arrow pointing toward the bull's eye of the heart, it's what's in your heart that matters.
Okay, so Pastor Rowe, having said that, let's just say if you're not married, let's just say you're in your 20s and you've never been married, and you see a lady that there's three ladies. One is she's okay. She doesn't catch your eye. There's another one that's about 375 pounds. That has a wonderful personality. And then there's one that's absolutely drop-dead gorgeous. And, you know, she's kind of mean. Now, one of these three ladies, you had an option to date. let's go back to the first one. The first one's personality, she's kind of like hoodie. And what I mean by that is she's like, you know, mean and no nonsense. The second one is 375 pounds, has the most beautiful personality of anybody you've ever seen. And the third lady, drop-dead gorgeous, but nobody wants to be bothered with her. She's just too mean and arrogant. So you have a choice of these three ladies, fast row. Which one are you likely to choose?
Number two.
The one that's 375 pounds.
Mm-hmm, and got a great attitude.
Okay, all right, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Let me put it out here, Sparkles. Let's give this flip the switch a little bit and say that the man, the first guy, he's just so hoodie and so ghetto. And I'm not picking at any culture when I say ghetto. I'm just talking about, you know, that's not what you want. He curses and swears like a sailor, and I don't know where to get that term from. And it's not like I've been around sailors that curse and swear a lot, but Sparkles, I want to ask you that question, excuse me, and I want to say this first one, you know that you don't want to deal with his attitude. Second one, he's 375 pounds and wonderful personality. And the third one, drop-dead gorgeous guy. Which one are you going to pick?
I would go for number two.
The 375-pound guy. Okay. And, yeah. And what? So are you saying that we're not dating
the heart,
look, shape, or size? We're dating Allie?
Pardon me?
Are we dating personality, or are we dating the appearance? What are we dating? What are we doing?
I would say that it's a little bit of both, but it depends on that particular person.
All right,
what matters to them the most?
Shield of Faith, I want to bring you in here. Shield of Faith. Shield of Faith, same scenario. Which one would you take?
The good-looking guy.
Okay, Shield of Faith. I must be from a different planet because I'm taking that good-looking woman, too. I just am. And
I'm going to mold his personality the way I want.
I'm just taking that good-looking woman. You know, it's just like, I'm sorry, I can't deal with the 375 pounds, and I know that I'm not going to feel comfortable with that. So that's just me. But we're going to actually stand by Shield of Faith. Miss J, I want to bring you in here. Miss J, give me your thoughts. The guy, you know, that first one, you know, got that ghetto mentality, just cursing and swearing up, like, for no reason. And the next guy is 375 pounds. And the next one is a good-looking guy, but, you know... I mean, he's good-looking. Which one are you going to pick, Miss Jane?
I'm going to pick the good-looking one, too, because, you know, I got to have somebody to help represent me, too. And I don't feel comparable and comfortable with a big man like that. I don't,
right.
I'm not attracted to her, so why I'm going to force myself. We can be friends, but I don't think we could be in a relationship.
That's what I'm talking about. We can certainly be friends, but it's like, you know what? I got to know. That I feel comfortable with myself, and if I have a preference, that's what I'm going with. Darren Didi, same scenario. What are you going to go with? What are you going with, Darren Didi?
Well, it's a combination of both.
But you can only pick one, though.
I know. Well, I think I'd go with a 350-pound person that has more of a you know, jolly personality and very, you know, kind-spirited versus a good-looking person. Their personality can make them completely ugly. So, and it's unfortunate that we do judge people by their looks in that kind of a scenario, but we all do.
I know, and we certainly do. We're going to certainly ask all of you all to stand by. So tonight's topic, if you just joined us, should looks, shape, or size matter when it comes to a relationship? So, I mean, this is very interesting. We're going to read the story in about 2 minutes, but before I do, I want to go over here, Demon Slayer, same scenario. Demon Slayer, who are you picking? Are you picking the 375-pound woman, the good-looking woman, or that first one? Or perhaps Demon Slayer is just listening in. Let's go back up here now to Pastor Rowe. Pastor Rowe, I'm going to bring you back in here. So, Pastor Rowe, you say that you would pick the woman at 375 pounds. Pastor Rowe, she's already big. And let's say you're in your 20s and she has no children. So is this the same woman you expect to have children with?
Dr. Walker, I'll say something, and everybody on the show will understand my thoughts, but I'm going to try to say it in a nice way. Intimacy is important. With that that I just mentioned, consideration would be intimacy matters in a relationship, you know, especially when it comes to a young person. So I leave it at that, Dr. Walker.
Okay, so Pastor Roll, let me try it another way. Pastor Roll, knowing that you want kids, would this be a woman that you say, well, to have and to hold, till death do us part, would that be that woman that you would want to be the mother of your children?
Yes, because size doesn't matter in that perspective.
Okay. All right. Certainly we're going to ask you to stand by. All right. You're listening live to the Dr. Jess Walk Show, 347-857-1769. We would certainly love to hear your opinion as you tune in with us tonight on tonight's broadcast. We're going to go to the story in just a moment. Let me go back up here now. And Sparkles, let me bring you back in here. Sparkles, I want to ask you the question. If you wanted to have children, knowing you're in your 20s, from this man, the 375-pound man is the man that you would want to have your children with and to live the rest of your life with because he has a nice personality? Sparkles?
I would say yes and no. I mean, he could be 370 pounds. He could be looking.
You're going to talk to us. Which one?
I would still choose him because he could be good looking. Just because he's 370-some pounds doesn't mean he's not good-looking.
Well, that's true. That's true. But his genes, there's a good chance his genes that you're going to have a 15-pound baby. But I'm just saying. So is this the man? You know, we're not looking for it. I mean, give us your thought. You know, we don't, you know, it's not a yes or no, but it's which one. Is this the man? Let me try it a different way. Knowing that you want to get married and someday have children and you're in your early 20s, is this the guy that you will go to the altar with and, you know, say, I do, to?
Probably not.
Why not, Sparkles?
Well,
when you chose
him. I mean, the personality is a great part of it, period, and all that stuff. But then, on the other hand, close to it would be parents.
But, Sparkles, you said that the initial opening of it.
I know I
that,
did, because personality is very important to me. It is.
I understand that. So we're talking tonight about looks, shape, and size when it comes to relationships. So if his 375-pound personality is good, then why wouldn't you take him to the altar and marry him? Sparkles, we're going to ask you to stand by.
I'm going to stand by. I'm not going to say nothing.
Okay. All right. We're going to ask you to stand by. All right. Tonight's topic: should look, shape, or size matter when it comes to a relationship? Our characters tonight are Norman. No, it's actually Norma. Norma and her ex-husband, Oscar. Now, her ex-husband's name is Oscar. All of our stories are inspired by true stories of names, of course, which can change to protect the innocent. Prior to their divorce, Norma and Oscar have been married for just over 23 years. They have four children. When they initially met in college, Norma was the apple of his eye with an attractiveness that far exceeded anything he had ever seen on planet Earth. She stood 5'3" and wore a size 4 petite. She was incredibly beautiful in every way possible, even with a lovely voice and warm and inviting personality. Now, she was the captain of the cheerleaders for the sports team in college. Oscar was the quarterback for the college football team and maintained a great shape. Several of the girls at college gave Norma tremendous competition to get Oscar because he, too, was very good looking. But he only had eyes for Norma. Oscar and Norma dated throughout their junior and senior years of college and married shortly after graduating. They were both 23 years old at the time and on the journey of starting a new life together. Okay, stay with me, you all. Within 2 years of their marriage, their first child was born. Over the next 6 years, they reached their goal of 4 healthy and beautiful children, 2 boys and 2 girls. Well, shortly after the family became established and well into their lifestyle, over the last 17 years, where things were better than most marriages or relationships and family ties, because of the family, they did pretty much everything together. Now, for some reason, in the 20th year of their marriage, things began to take a different twist because Norma's, her looks, her shape, and her size began to noticeably change. The stress of working, marriage, raising children, amongst other things, began to take a vast toll on her body, her spirit, and mind, coupled with just living life. Norma's beauty changed as she was now showing uncontrollable wrinkles, excessive weight gain, fatigue, and some depression that she could not seem to understand why it was happening to her. Oscar continued to maintain a healthy look, a healthy shape and size despite everything else. For over 2 years, he pleaded with Norma. For over 2 years, you all, he pleaded with Norma to walk regularly with him when he would take his walks, as he begged her to go to the gym with him as well. Norma began to constantly make excuses for not joining her man as he continued his walking and going to the gym. Well, it happened. Oscar's interest in Norma declined as he met someone else at the gym who worked out as rigidly as he did. Within 8 months of having an affair with this other lady, he filed for divorce from Norma. Norma tried her best to contest the divorce, but Oscar was fixated on being with this other woman who was only 33 years old and in perfect shape with a perfect look and, of course, the perfect size. Oscar was 47 and started a new family with his new wife who bore their first child together after their marriage of only 1 year. It's been 3 years since her divorce from Oscar, and her depression of losing him has caused her to look even older, gain more weight, and now wears a size 14. The kids are all grown and on their own, and Norma is left with only memories of the way it once was. This story will be continued. Let me start out, Ms. J. Let me start out with you, Ms. J. Here it is, Norma. Did Oscar do her wrong? Michelle, let me begin with that. Did he do her wrong by going to this other woman?
Well, he tried his best over the years to get her to try to, you know, keep herself up. He tried. But she kept going down, down, down. He's a man. He wants his wife to look attractive. He found someone out there that did. What can I say? Sometimes I tell ladies all the time, you got to keep yourself up to keep your man. Because a man, I mean, somebody said marriage is hard. It's not really hard. You just got to keep yourself up, and you should want the desire to keep yourself up. And Norma didn't even have the desire. Even at the end of your story, she still wasn't keeping herself up. So, you know, he was unhappy, and I hate that that happened to him. But, you know, if he's that unhappy, I don't believe he should stay in there with it, you know.
Well, absolutely. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Shield of Faith, give me your thoughts on this. What do you think? Should Oscar have stayed with her, even though he was pleading with her to, hey, get it together?
Yes, he should have stayed with her. He married her for better or for worse, and sometimes things do happen. She had 4 children. I'm not making an excuse for her to gain weight or situation she was in. But she was working, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, taking care of him. You know, so, yes, he should have stayed with her. If he loved her, which, you know, you would hope he loved her, he should have stayed with her and, you know, prayed together, talked about things, tried to work things out, tried to do things to make her feel better about herself, to get her out of the depression. Yeah, it was wrong for him to have an affair.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. You know, I probably am clearly from a different planet, because I don't think it's Oscar's fault. I mean, if you're pleading with your significant other, I mean, we're talking about look, shape, and size. He didn't meet her that way. I mean, I just want, this is just my opinion, you all, just like everybody's giving ears. He didn't meet her that way. And things, I understand, life happens. But now you've allowed yourself, for whatever reason, if I didn't contribute to you getting like that, you've let yourself go somewhere. And this man pleaded with her for 2 years to walk with him, to go to the gym. And then you're just letting yourself go. He met her a certain way. And it's different if there was a medical issue. But now she's let herself go. So what am I supposed to do? What is he supposed to do? So, and I'm not trying to justify his actions, but I feel he did his part. Everybody, you know, if looks matter to him, if shape matters to him, he would have married someone. If it didn't matter to him, he would have married someone else. But no, he married because this was appealing to him, you know. And it's just like Samson, I think it was Samson who said, she pleases me well, about Delilah. That eye for a man is a lot, and I'm sure it is for a woman. Miss J, let's get your thoughts on here. You know, once again, let's go back to you. Miss J, is it really Oscar's fault?
I was going to say, too, when she was talking, you know, not only the weight gain, but then I'm going to go back right quick. The kids was grown once they divorced, according to what you said, yeah. 20 after 20 years. So they grown. He done dealt with all that. But not only she gained weight, she became inactive, tired all the time. They probably weren't having sex anymore, it sounds like, or nothing. So she was falling down on her marital duties or being as a wife. Seems like a good little while, you know. And, you know, normal, even though you gain weight, that's no excuse to fall down on being intimacy with your husband or going out there just walking. Even if you didn't lose no weight, you was being active with him. And I think that he probably would have appreciated that. Even though she had some weight on, she was still being active, you know. But she just
remember the story said in their first 17 year marriage, they did everything, pretty much everything together. So now all of a sudden, you stopped doing this stuff that you all were doing together. So a man or a woman, you know, when you're going to change up on them like that, especially when, if it's a woman, let's reverse it, and she's pleading with her man, hey, look, go walking with me. Hey, look, cut down on eating all this sugar, all of this sodas and all of this stuff. And you still do it. It's like, okay, those things are going to change. And somewhere along the way, it could come and affect me. Because if you get, you know, sick, I'm affected. And, you know, and I know this may sound wrong, you all, but you know, it's like the world we live in, people are not real. They're not real. Because we might say on this show that, oh, you know, we should stay for better or for worse. And I respect that shield of faith in all of you all. But people, if that's the case, and many of us probably can't relate to what's going on out here in some cases, if that's the case, why are there more than 55% of marriages ended in divorce? If it's, you know, is it a commitment issue? Something happened. Something happened. And whether the person is beautiful with shape, size, and looks, something still happened. We're going to ask you all to stand by. Let's go to Sparkles, let's bring you in here. Sparkles, did Norma possibly bring this on herself? Norma?
Yes.
I mean,
He did. She let herself go.
Okay.
She didn't care.
She wasn't
listening to her husband. And the end result was she lost her husband.
All right. And I know some say that depression is a medical issue, and yes, it can be. Yes, it can be. But if someone sees that there's a significant change with you and they're asking you to let's get some help, listen, they can't even hold you more than 3 days, even on a Baker Act, all right? So then what? If you're not willing to get help, remember, we all have free will, free choice, and you're functioning, then what are you supposed to do? Fast Roll, let's bring it to you. What are you supposed to do, Fast Roll?
Okay, well, I'll just say this to you. There's a way to reason together, okay? She won't go to the gym with him, right?
Right.
Okay, well, you can bring the gym to her. You know, I mean, you can go out there and get your walking machines and bring it in your house. You know, you might have to invest a little more, you know, little weights and things like, you know, different things that you can use to help her physical conditioning, you know. So now if she reject, you know, bringing the gym to the house, if she don't want to go to the gym, then that calls for some serious prayer and consideration. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. So let me go here, shield of faith. There's an old saying, you can lead the horse to water, but you can't make it drink. So we bring the gym near, and she says, you know, you're going to spend $1,200 on a tread machine that she never even gets on. Then what are you supposed to do? You're trying to do everything that you can, and, you know, he or she is just not, they don't seem to be accepting of it. What are we supposed to do then?
Well, I mean, I think that we let society tell us that it's okay to not be in marriage, for better or for worse, and that's why there's so much divorce, because we allow society to say if something changes with your spouse, then it's okay for you to go find a younger wife and leave them. Now, what's going to happen when that younger wife has the second, third, and fourth child and she gains weight? What's he going to do then? Leave to find somebody else? I mean, honestly, you love somebody for that person, not just for the way they look. Of course, you're attracted at the beginning to the way they look, but things change. Let's face it, 40 years, 20 years, whatever. Sometimes people get sick. Sometimes people have problems. Sometimes people have issues with their physical, you know, body, but you love somebody for that person, and God put that person in your life for a reason. And you married that person, you should stand by that person. You shouldn't allow society to say it's okay for you to leave for a younger woman just to find a little bit of pleasure. My opinion.
All right. Sheila Faith, I want to stay with you just for a second. I've heard what you said, okay. And I certainly respect that. Sheila Faith, so, and I see medical issues being different, totally different. I strongly believe that you should stick with your significant other. If during the marriage they took ill, of course. But when they haven't taken ill and they have something to do about their situation, I think that becomes, you know, a judgment call on what you want to do. Shield of Faith, but I want to ask you this question. Suppose it was a situation where the man, and let's say in a relationship that you have, he starts to take drugs. He starts to take drugs, and he just start hanging with the wrong people. Now, for better or for worse, and now he's been on drugs for 5 years, and half of the time he doesn't even come home. And now he's lost his job, and he's just, you know, going in and out. He's lying to you. Bills are not getting paid. So do you stay there and hang in there with that? Shield of Faith. After you know you've gotten him, you've asked him to get, you've tried to take him to Alcoholic Anonymous or Drug Anonymous, and you tried to hang in there. Then what do you do, for better or worse?
That's a little bit different scenario than just somebody's looks and size, gaining some weight or that kind of thing. That's a totally different situation where he's lying to you and spending money on drugs that are illegal or whatever he's doing. That's a little bit different situation. And if that situation cannot change, then I think that you do have a reason to, if he won't go for help or you can't get counseling, then that's a little bit different situation where you leave. Now, I don't think you should go out and try to find another spouse. I mean, I don't think that that's the proper way to do that. Guy, you know, he went to the gym and found somebody new and divorced his wife. That's a little bit different than when somebody that has a drug addiction that is hard to beat. And, I mean, I do know people in my own family that have stayed with and tried to help and get through, but that's a different situation than just the looks and the size, I think.
Okay, we're going to ask you to stand by. And, you know, I kind of see it very similar. Because, in fact, the person who's in the drug situation, I see that almost in the medical area because I don't know if you've ever, let me ask you this question, Shilda Faith. Have you ever dealt with a drug addict or, I mean, I'm talking about personally dealt with them or been exposed to someone who you've known that's been on drugs?
Yes.
Have you?
Yes.
Hard drugs.
Yes, I have. Yes. My grandmother was a prescription drug addict. My grandfather was a doctor, and it was easy accessible, and he was a very kind, compassionate person, and every pain that she said she had, he felt, you know, that he had to help her. And so I did. I watched her destroy her life with prescription drugs. So I have been around that. But my grandfather did stay with her, do the best he could to try to help her overcome it.
Okay. All right. So I've had experience, direct experience with people that have been involved with drugs. I worked even at a drug facility for a number of years, two of them. And let me tell you, the people that are dealing in drugs, even though they're lying, they're cheating, they're stealing from you, there's a demon that has come over to take control of those individuals. And it is very difficult for them to exercise any degree of discipline, any degree of discipline.
I agree with you.
Uh-huh. So in this situation here, going back, I mean, those people, I mean, it becomes very hard. You're trying to get them help. Because I've been there with working directly with these people. And let me tell you something. They're not themselves at all. They're not.
No, they're not.
And so, but when we're talking about look, shape, and size of someone who is in, it's functional. Drug addicts are not necessarily functional like we would want. I mean, for them to lose their job, for them to lose their home, for them to lose different things, they're not functioning. But this person is functional, I'm talking about. But they choose to just, whatever it is, they're choosing to, and I know shapes change. But they're choosing to, the man is pleading with her, or the woman can be pleading with the man, baby, come on, we did all these things together before. Please go walking with me, you know? So, Sheila Faye, I'm going to ask you to stand by. I totally see things differently, and maybe it's just me. But, Missy, I want to bring you in here. Missy, I probably would have been like Oscar. I'm gone. I'm going to take care of my kids. They're grown. The kids are grown. I mean, where's my pleasure with you? You're not doing anything with me now. So what am I supposed to do, spend the rest of my life like this? And I didn't cause your issue? We still have our autonomy and our individuality in marriage or relationships. So if I didn't cause this, Miss J, and you're not cooperating with me when I'm trying to, then what do you expect me to do, Miss Jay, honestly speaking?
You know, Norma, me personally, you know, y'all know that I'm 100% for marriage and I don't really like divorces, but, you know, sometimes.
Yes, right.
Norma, I know you didn't say this in the story and hoping I'm not really adding it in, but I feel she really destroyed the marriage. By her gaining the weight, not taking care of herself, she losing the desire to be a wife to Oscar. And there's a law, you're talking about divorce, there's a law, I know it is, which you can tell me, the woman do not, if the man is not able to be intimate with his wife for whatever reason, and if the woman would not reciprocate intimacy with the husband, you know, that can be a thing to file for divorce. Isn't it a law or something about that? When people
file
for divorce?
Yeah, the law does. In certain states, the law does that. The woman has a duty to be intimate with her husband. You know, men wrote that law. Yes, they want to make sure that's in there. That a woman has a duty to be intimate with her husband. And so, you know, in order for the man to desire the woman, right? In order for him to desire her, come on now, he met her as a cheerleader. And all these other women coming around him. And then, you know, I want to go back to just a second, something, you know, I want to put this out there. I go to the gym regularly. I see older women, in their 40s, late 40s. They're not old, but even the 50s and 60s, and
right.
even early 70s. Because a lady, you know, I saw the other day, she says, well, my coach says, well, how old do you think that lady is? I say, probably maybe 56, and the lady was standing there. That lady said, I'm 78 years old. Blew me away. It blew me away. I said, well, how long have you been going to the gym? She said, I've been in the gym over 20 years. She said, when my husband left me for somebody else, she said, that motivated me to go to this gym. She's been going to the gym over 20 years. The lady says she's 78, walks better than I walk. Okay? Nice shape. So now, Misty, I want to bring you in here. So, I mean, here it is. Why not want to fine-tune yourself? Talk to me, Miss J.
Yeah, you sure want to do that. You sure want to look good for your man and, number one, for yourself. So,
yes.
Me, any woman that don't care about herself and just, I mean, sometimes you mind for other reasons because, you know, with me, I got a little weight on me, but I try to keep it in proportion for it to look nice and I can look nice in my clothes and I stay active with it, you know. But, you know, you got to keep that man having that desire for you. I think Oscar had that desire for her, but she stayed tired all the time because of her weight and not being active till it was just nothing there for him anymore. And he did that for 20 years.
No, it wasn't.
It was nothing.
Remember, this was the woman that was the apple of his eye. She was a cheerleader. The woman wore a size 4. Now you done jumped 10 sizes? I mean, seriously? Listen, I was in Hawaii. The first time I was in Hawaii, I was out there for 2 or 3 weeks. And my brother lived out there at the time. My older brother lived out there at the time. And he had been out there for about 11 years. And let me tell you something. Everywhere I went, you had these women jogging. And these women were sizes 4 and 6 and 8. You didn't see, and forgive me for saying it like this, you all, you didn't see a fat woman out there. So I asked my brother, I'm like, look at these women. They're gorgeous, and their bodies are nice. And I say, why are these women all look like, they look like they just came out of a magazine. They look so good in their bodies. I say, why are they look like they just work out excessively. He say, the challenge is there's so many women in Hawaii, and there are fewer men. He said the ratio is about 1 to 25 in Hawaii. So he said the wives are out there keeping their bodies in shape. He said it's not even just about looks in Hawaii. It was about your shape. And he said those women, they are out there exercising and maintaining their size and shape just to maintain the man that they have. And he said it's 1 to 25. And he said, these women, and listen, I saw this here for myself. These women are jogging. And just like at the gym, I see women come in there who've had babies, and they bring a stroller with the baby, and then they got another child, maybe 3 or 4, that they're walking with in their hand. I see it every time I'm at the gym. Lots of those women. They're in there to working out. They got that baby in that stroller. They got the 3-year-old sitting there close by while they're on that treadmill or that elliptus, that walking thing. So let me go back over here and say now, Sparkles, let's take a look at this story again. Let's just take a look. I understand for better or for worse. But then if he didn't meet her that way, Sparkles, he didn't meet her like this. Now, is it really his fault to hang in there forever and she just keeps blowing up? I mean, seriously?
No. If he's pleaded and asked and she's just refusing, I don't think that that he should stay in the marriage. It's not right, but it's real.
Yeah, okay. Not right, but it's real. We're going to certainly actually stand by. Let's welcome Benny from the block. Benny from the block, welcome to tonight's broadcast. Good to have you with us.
Good evening. I apologize for my lateness. And it's actually interesting that I just got through doing a photo shoot with a bunch of Ron John models, so I clearly understand what you're talking about.
All right, we're going to come back to you in just a moment, Ben, from the block. So here we are, you know, yeah, and Sheila Faye, let's bring you in here because Sheila Faye, you made a very interesting point that society has told us, you know, that you got to look good. The actors and actresses, and I was in California before, and I got to see some of these stars without the makeup. And they have been, and it's like, and I'm sorry to say, but it's like when you see them without the makeup, because they've had this embedded on them so many years that it looks like the makeup, the excessive makeup has ruined their faces. So it's almost like you're not seeing the natural person. What we look at on television is a lot of makeup for the lighting and so forth and so on. And I saw some of them up close and personal, and I said, wow, this is quite interesting. So, Sheila Faith, I want to bring you in here. In that case, why is society telling us, you know, as it is, that, you know, hey, you got to look so good. You got to eat right. And the commercials, they're showing, unless they're doing a big, you know, commercial clothing, and they're emphasizing big men or women, they're showing all of the commercials are basically good-looking women or men. So doesn't society kind of hurt us if you're not as good-looking and so forth and so on? Talk to me, Sheila Faith.
Yeah, I mean, I think we allow society to dictate that to us. My dad used to say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. I mean, it's a good thing that we all don't like the same thing, or we'd be after one person. I mean, it's a good thing we all don't like short women, petite women. It's a good thing that some men like their women taller, or they like them maybe a little bigger, or they like them curvy, or they like them skinny. I mean, it's a good thing that God made us all differently. It's a good thing that he, you know, that we allow ourselves to be attracted to what we are attracted to and not allow somebody to tell us, you know, what is attractive. I mean, I think that's very important to think about, the fact that we all like something different, you know.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the Block, I want to bring you in here with this photo shoot that you're at. Benny from the Block, why is it so important that they got to look good? You know, because it sells. Other than it sells. Isn't that right, Benny from the Block? It sells. Okay. Looks and sex sells. Go ahead.
That's absolutely correct. And it's not just a look. They are looking for a perfect look. And the look doesn't necessarily mean that everything is perfect on you. It just means what the camera captures while you're actually, you know, while they're actually looking for something. It's the camera. The camera sees something different than what we see with our eyes. But it's amazing how that camera can transform you, because there's things in us, we're all beautiful. I don't consider myself to be a supermodel. I don't. But they keep calling me because there's something that camera sees in me that they like. So, again, it is really based on the energy that you put out. And because you can have the best body and best looks, but if your energy is not right, that camera will not capture that energy. And I see a lot of people with great bodies and great looks, but the wrong energy. So it's the energy that pulls out of you, that smile, that complexion, that everything. It makes everything about you exuberant, your skin, your hair, your eyes. Everything just pops when you have great, great energy.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you that. We're going to start taking some of the comments in here. Now, you all, as we move on, let's go, Darren Didi. I want to bring you in here and give you this very first one. We're going to get the Demon Slayer in just a moment. Hopefully he's there. Let's go here. Darren Didi, the first comment goes to you. This male, he writes in, he says, in reference to look, shape, and size matter. When I was in my early 20s, I really thought that look, shape, and size matter. Well, that was a very long time ago, and now I'm in my late 50s. My own looks, shape, and size have changed, and after two marriages and being over 300 pounds, I guess those things really do matter to some people because it is difficult for me to get a date these days. Darren Didi, the poor guy, he says it matters. After two marriages, he's let himself go.
Yeah.
Darren Didi, if you were available, 300 pounds with the right personality, would you date him, Darren Didi?
I would, but again, you know, I like personality, but the physical part has to be there too, I would think. But I ran into this nice little poem that kind of has a lot to do with what we're talking about tonight, and I just want to read it.
Please, search for
a beautiful heart, not necessarily a beautiful face. Beautiful people are not always good, but good people are always beautiful. So if we could learn to look at each other's soul, their inner parts, maybe that's possibly that the whole physical thing could disappear. I'm not sure, but, you know, we're all physically and, you know, emotionally attached to people for this, that, or the other. So just throwing it out there.
That's a beautiful poem, Darren Dede. Beautiful poem. Text that to me when you get a moment. Thank you. So, Darren Dede, but I'm a little confused because you said that you would date him, but then you don't know. So
I've never been with a huge person. That's my thing. I've never, you know, my daddy was a big guy. I loved him to death.
Yeah, but was
you
your
know
daddy?
What I mean? But
yeah,
I know. That's what I'm saying. So, and he had no problems. He went through 3 marriages, and he was a big guy. So there are people who don't mind bigger people. So,
right, of course, yes. And we're not judging or criticizing anybody because,
no.
I mean, you know, everybody, you know, some conditions may be medical, but if they're non-medical, some people just like to eat. They just do, and they like to eat a lot of eating. So, Miss J, let me bring it here. This guy, he's over 300 pounds now, and he's having a problem getting a date. Miss J, if you were, you know, if he turned out to be a good-looking guy, very nice and so forth and so on, and he's probably listening to the show tonight, Miss J, would you, knowing he's over 300 pounds, Miss J, could we give him your phone number, Miss J?
You know, you like what you like. People have their preference. And a big man is not my preference. So, you know, that's all I got to say on that. So, you know, you might not want to give him my number. Because I don't think I got no business that he could deal with. But different strokes for different folks. There is somebody there. Hey, if I know a girlfriend that like big guys, I definitely turn on to them because there are some out there. You know, it ain't nothing wrong with the big guys if that's what you like.
Absolutely, Miss J. Absolutely. So, Miss J, have you ever thought about going to politics? Because you gave that response very diplomatically. That was beautiful.
Yes.
Did she pass pro? Did she?
Yes, sir. I tell you, I always love brother Lorenzo and Sister J comments, not to the exclusion of others, but you're a bad girl. You're a bad and Lorenzo, you're a bad boy.
You know, Dr. Walker, it's the reason why I wouldn't want no big guy, and this is an adult show. I'm a real active and stimulated and flips and turns and all that, and I might have hurt the man. So you know, he wouldn't be good for me. I'm just being honest with you. So you know, different strokes for different folks.
I got you, Ms. J. I got you. We're gonna have you to stand by this next comment. Demon Slayer, are you there? Demon Slayer, perhaps he's just listening in.
Yeah,
oh, he's there.
Yeah.
Demon Slayer, we're going to give you this next comment. This female, she writes in. She's talking about looks, shape, and size. She says, in my opinion, men really place emphasis on all 3 of these, looks, shape, and size. Well, I don't think they realize that as we all get older, and she places emphasis on all get older, these things will change on all of us, she says. I'm in my 60s and used to be a college cheerleader, just like Norma in tonight's story. Well, those days are long gone for me and so many others. My husband of 37 years left me for a woman 25 years younger than us because he admired her look, shape, and size. He's an idiot. That's all I can say. Brother Lorenzo, I'm sorry that she had to go through that. So the fact of the matter is, she says he's an idiot because he left her for a woman 25 years younger. That's a deep word, idiot. Why would she call him an idiot? You think she's still mad?
I think beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, I think it's important to get with somebody that's going to, if you stay in shape, you like go to the gym and exercise like I do, it's important to get somebody that's really, you know, going to be like you in a way. You know what I mean? It's not nothing wrong with sitting on the couch and getting fat and all that stuff if that's what you choose to do. But me, I like to stay in shape. I'm 59 going on 60, and I feel good. I work out every day. I do like 4 miles of walking and jogging and stuff and lift weights. So that's what I prefer. You know, I wouldn't mind. And if like you have a woman that used to look like a cheerleader and stuff like that, and she's getting like overweight a little bit, it's good. Hey, come on, let's go to the gym with me. You know what I mean? Stay in shape. Get that little perky little tip you used to have. You know what I mean? The light perky, you know, breasts and keep you in shape so you can stay looking good. And you can be in competition. You ain't got to worry about me looking at no other women because I'm too busy looking at you. You know what I mean? So
okay.
It's important for a woman and a man to stay looking good because there's a lot of competition out here. You know what I mean? You might look over there, you might be beautiful too. And then you might look at, hey, my man looking strong too. You know, he got his arms real strong, and he got a nice buttocks and a nice thighs and shoulders. You know what I mean? So, hey, you
right.
got to stay in shape out here.
Yeah, you know, everything that we do is a competitive world that we look in. And, and Brother Renzo, I like Pastor Rowe, I like how you and Ms. J keep it real, and not to say that the others don't, because I believe they do too, and we respect all opinions. You know, and Brother Renzo, people, in my opinion, now this is just my opinion as well, people tend to think that, oh, I'm married to this person, I have this person, and that, like, that's some guarantee. So I can just let myself go and eat, you know, ice cream 10 and 11 o'clock at night, and then wake up in the morning eating some donuts and all of this other kind of stuff and drinking 5 sodas a day and thinking, oh, I got them, and, you know, they're not going nowhere, you know. But they're keeping themselves in shape. And they're when you start to gain all this other weight and when a person stops saying anything, man or woman, that means their focus is starting to decline and not even look at you anymore, which was the apple of their eye at one point, that men or women. So they're looking. Listen, don't fool yourselves out there, you all. People like what they like, their preference. And you know, that's what we're hearing tonight. They like what they like. And if you're not keeping yourself marketable for yourself first, then, you know, people are looking at somebody else. They're looking. And they're probably lusting after that. It's natural. Now let's go up here. Let's go to the phone lines. It's not coming up in the queue. Let's go to 90. We're going to call the first 6 numbers of your phone. 904-303. Who do we have, and welcome to tonight's broadcast?
Well, Dr. Jesse, I'm Tahaka Amana L. Bay out of Jacksonville, Florida. And I was browsing along the Blog Talk shows, and I seen your subject. Should look, shape, or size matter when it comes to a relationship? And I just had to get in here and listen to this and see what you guys were talking about.
All right. Well, we certainly do appreciate you. Do you think that looks, shape, or size should matter when it comes to a relationship?
Yes, that is a very important part of a relationship. That is definitely important. However, I have a system whereby I'm going to look at the woman, and I'm going to look at her up and down, but I'm more interested in what's upstairs inside of the head. When she opens her mouth, I'm definitely going to be listening to that, because all too often I've ran into women, and I'm a bachelor, and I could only speak from a man's perspective. I ran into women that have a whole lot going on downstairs. But upstairs, the light on, but ain't nobody home. You understand what I'm saying?
So, I do. I absolutely do. So in your thoughts from Jacksonville here, you say that looks, shape, and size do matter because you're going to look at them. And that's what usually appeals to a man and women too, for that matter, and we've heard that on tonight's broadcast. So we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. We'll come back to you in just a moment. Did you say your name was Bay?
Yeah, B E Y. Tahaka Amana L. Bay. I host a Blog Talk show myself.
Tahaka. Okay, Bay. Okay, Mr. Tahaka Bay. We're going to ask you to stand by. All right, let me go up here. Pastor Roll, I want to bring you in here. Pastor Roll, I mean, when it comes to look, shape, and size, and for better or for worse, and I know what Scripture says, but in your opinion, Pastor Roll, people just want something where, I mean, I see a beautiful woman and her size and shape, you know, and just like any other man, you know, they're just trying to respect being around their wives or their woman. But if they, and I love what Brother Lorenzo said, if your woman is in shape, he said, I think he summed it up, and as far as I'm concerned, if you're doing the best you can do, it doesn't appeal to you to be looking at somebody else. You can probably look and just keep it moving because you know what you have at home. And so that should matter. But when, Pastor Roll, my question to you is, if at home isn't doing what they need to be doing, what you going to do?
Well, Pastor, Dr. Walker, I'll just say this right quick, like to you. When I was, you know, me and you from the same school, when I was in my 16, 17, 18, 19, 11 grade, I really admired, Charles Atlas, you know, muscular guy, and I was 6'3" and weighed 165 pounds, and man, I said, wow, I like to be like that, you know. So I started doing little things to look muscular, you know, you know, and, you know, lifting weights, got me some weights and stuff, and, you know, running around the block, you know. But looks does matter, you know. I mean, if you're looking for a house and you see a house, you know, it's got pretty green grass, you know, you want to get it. But if you see the same house and it's got dead grass, brown, you know, that kind of turn you off. So I just say looks matter, and I just say also longevity matters to me, you know. You know, we need to encourage more people to come to these shows that you got, the Blog Talk Radio show, because if they're not exercising, they need to get out and exercise, and longevity matters. When you exercise and get to that gym, and the right nutrition, you're going to live longer. Back to you, Dr. Walker.
Okay, Pastor Roll, we certainly do appreciate your being candid with us. So, Pastor Roll, I'm kind of confused because earlier, when we asked about the 375-pound woman, and you say looks do matter, so I know you're from Avenue D in Fort Pierce, and Pastor Roll, mm-hmm. we know you want to keep it real, just like many of our callers tonight. So, Pastor Roll, let me ask you, do you still feel that you're going to, that 375-pound woman is the woman that you will say I do to for the rest of your life, knowing that you're probably a man of my own heart, just beautiful women are just like, you're adored by them, or, you know, I mean, they're just there. So, Pastor Roll, would that 375-pound woman still do, because she has a beautiful personality, would this be the woman that you want to have all of your children with that would cause you to forsake all others?
Well, I tell you what matters, and I learned it from Martin Luther King. You know, judge no man by the color of their skin. You know, the physical, the outward, it doesn't matter, but the content of their character. So what's most important to me when I look at everything and reduce the fraction to the lowest term, the content of their character. Make no difference whether black or white, 1,000 pounds in his sight. Sight. The character is what matters to me when you reduce the fraction to the lowest term. Character.
So you're sticking with what you said initially, that you could marry the 375-pound woman and have all of your children with her. Is that fair to say, Pastor Roll?
Character. That's what matters. I don't care whether you're 36, 24, 36, whatever. You know, the character of the person that matters to me. I've been out here, I'm almost 76 years old, and I done seen some things in my life. You know, and I'm more convinced, more so than ever, what means anything is character, the character of a person.
All right, Pastor, we're going to certainly ask you to stand by. All right, let's go here now. Darren Deedy, I want to bring you in here, Darren Deedy, for this next comment. Darren Deedy, this man, he writes in and he says, reference to tonight's show, look, shape, and size. My wife and I have been together for over 27 years. Yes. We have both gained a considerable amount of weight, and her body has changed due to having three children. Yet, I still love her as much today as I did when we first met in college over 32 years ago. I think when you're really in love, it makes all the difference in accepting the changes that your body, attitude, looks, and otherwise that you will encounter. That same love will keep you graciously forsaking all others. Darren Dido, that's beautiful, but they've been together over 27 years, so he sees her beauty from over 32 years ago. What do you think about that, Darren Dede?
Amen. That's true love. You know, it's completely unconditional love. And, yes, we do all change as we age. It's a natural process. We can't look like we're 18 our entire lives, you know. But God bless them. Yeah, good for them. I think everybody's looking for that other kind of person, just like that.
All right, excellent. We send kudos to them. Mr. Bay, I want to bring you in here from Jacksonville. And with this comment, this female, she writes in. She says, I'm 44 years old and have been told that I still have the body of my teenage years. Well, I'm not exactly sure about that, but I can say I think we have to do our part to maintain a healthy look to the best of our abilities, and that's all we can do. Anything beyond that is either accepted or not. That's how I see it. Mr. Bay, what are your thoughts on that? To do our part. She places emphasis on that.
Well, I think she's absolutely correct. it boils down to what are you bringing to the table? And once again, I have to speak from a male's position. I've been an athlete all my life. I turned my garage into a gym. And I had over 950 pounds of raw steels and Cadillacs and 13 machines up in there. I know that the first thing that you are supposed to do in order to get into shape is you go to the kitchen first, not the gym. And see, I'm not a meat eater. I believe when a man gets in his 70s and 80s and 90s, everything around his house still supposed to be standing straight up. Now, what I mean by that, you could take, I've run into men in their 30s that were suffering from impotency. And I told them, I said, get you a raw juicing machine, get you a chunk of ginger root, get you some cranberries, some apples, some raw spinach, and drink that down. That takes care of all of that. So you start in the kitchen, and then you go from the kitchen to the gym. Now, when it comes to, once again, when it comes to your size and shape matter, that is important. But what is more important, and the gentleman just touched on it a minute ago, is a person's their attitude, their integrity, and the stuff of that matter in that order. That's extremely important. And to me, that supersedes anything that a person can look like. So whatever floats your boat, I imagine that's what we're going to do. But from what I can see, I'm more interested in what's going on upstairs in your mind, and because that's going to tell me whether or not you can go the distance. Then I'm going to look at the numbers. I want to know when you're born and what date, what's your month, birth, year, because I'm a numbers man and numbers don't lie, and I'm going to deal with that too. But I've learned a long time ago. I'm 70 years old now, and I'm still active. And when I tell people how old I am, they're looking at me like, man, I can't believe that. I said, well, I'm not in the streets. I watch what I eat. I don't eat any meat. I don't eat any processed foods, no dairy, and I get plenty of relaxation. And I think that every man should have a library in his home so he can leave that particular legacy for his children as well. I hope I've answered that question for you.
You did a very good job at answering that. And you said when you mentioned float your boat and you gave the ginger root, the apples, the spinach, and what were the other ingredients that you mentioned?
You got a chunk of ginger root, no more than the tip of your first finger, the top of your finger. And then you want to get some cranberries. You can put apples, spinach, and parsley in the juicing machine, and you can drink that for a little while, and that will give you superior stamina. If you've got arthritis and stuff in your joints, you get your pineapple and get the outer skin of the pineapple after you wash it real good, because it is the only plant on the planet with bromelain in it, and that'll stop any kind of sinus you got.
I see. Do you follow a certain protocol on YouTube or follow a certain person, man or woman, on YouTube or anybody else out there, just to, for a point of reference?
Well, no, I think most people follow me. I have my own show. And I've been dropping this science. I teach contract law. I'm a minister of education for the Moorish government. I'm a Moorish national. I operate on the entire eastern seaboard of the United States. And I run a blog talk show, and a lot of times I come on other people's show, and I'll be hosting a show Saturday night with Wayne Chandler, the author of Ancient Future, and we'll be talking about ancient civilization, esoteric knowledge, and so on and so forth.
All right. What's the name of your blog talk? What's the name of your show?
That's Moorish Talk Live 100.
M-O-R-R-I-S?
Yeah, Moorish.
Okay.
M-O-O-R-I-S-H, Talk Live 100 at Block Talk Radio.
100, okay, at Block Talk. All right, well, we're certainly glad that you stopped by here, and we hope that you'll continue to check in with us, and perhaps one day I might get an invite and just tune into one of your broadcasts. We certainly do appreciate that. We're going to ask you to stand by. All right,
okay.
Mr. D, I want to bring you in here. We're running out of time, you all. We only have about 18 minutes to go. Missy, I want to bring you in here and with this comment here from this male. He says, I think that some women let themselves go as they get older, which causes a man to not find them as attractive and prefer a younger woman more attractive. I believe look, shape, and size do matter because anyone tell you otherwise is clearly not telling the truth. In fact, they're lying. Everyone wants someone who looks pretty good even as we get older. Missy, talk to me on that. Are they on point or close to it?
Well, you know, I think everybody wants someone that looks nice. Like the gentleman just said, he was 70. I'll be 70 shortly, and I try to keep myself up looking nice, look whatever. I refuse to let myself look, you know, look down, or I'm not going to say look older because I'm going to, you know, look older at some point, but it'll be a good older. And to say that you don't, you know, there's no use to keep yourself up, yes, it's very important to do that. It's very important to put forth some effort to stay strong and to continue showing love. What happened?
Okay.
And to continue showing love to your spouse and everything. And by doing that, they do look at you, and, you know, and they want to like what they look at.
All right. We're going to certainly ask you to stand by. Sparkles, I want to bring you in here. Sparkles. Do you, now that you've heard a great deal of this show, Sparkles, why do looks matter? If looks don't really matter, I'm just asking your opinion here, then why comb your hair, brush your teeth, you know, to look nice every day if you do that? I'm sure you brush your hair, comb your, you know, brush your teeth and try to look decent. But if looks didn't matter, why even bother to do any of this? Why not just wake up and go outside and breathe on somebody?
Looks do matter. They do. They absolutely do, and all that stuff. And it's the person. So if the person feels good about themselves, this is just my thought, person feel good about themselves, I would say that they want to look good and all. But there's some people that wake up, they don't care, and they do go outside looking just any old kind of way. But it's an individual.
Okay, so if they come and breathe on you
perfect.
And they haven't brushed their Sparkles, would you feel offended by that? And they, you know, because you see, we watch TV, and like Seal the Face said earlier, society tries to tell us, dictate to us how things should go. So we see people waking up in bed together on television, and they're kissing. In reality, MSG, I want to bring that back to you as well. Same question. So Sparkles, I want to begin with you and ask, in reality, is that true, Sparkles? You think that people just wake up in the middle of the night and they're kissing and they're passionately making, you know, having intercourse, and in the mornings they're waking up, you know, with that fresh breath without even brushing their teeth? Sparkles, talk to me, because that's what we see on television.
Yeah, but television isn't real. They just acting.
So why we watch television then? So why do we watch it? Why do you think we watch television?
For entertainment purposes, for entertainment purposes and all, and some people take it as, it's true that, you know, it's like reality. This is real, and that's what's going on, and so some people imitate it.
So, Sparkles, if your husband or your man is trying to wake you up at 4 o'clock in the morning to be intimate. He's blowing on you and whispering in your ear. And, I mean, you wouldn't turn over and oblige him, and he wants to kiss you passionately 4 o'clock in the morning?
I would.
You would. Why did you laugh when you said you would? Why did you laugh? I'm just wondering.
I would probably say, hey, babe, you need to go and brush your teeth or something.
Why did you laugh, Sparkles? I mean, and you hesitated. I would. I mean, why you laughed if you would? What were you thinking? What came to your mind, honestly, Sparkles? What came to your mind at 4 o'clock in the morning that made you laugh? What was the first thing when I asked that question? What came to your mind?
Because you said blowing on you and all that stuff like that. That's what made
when,
me laugh.
When you want him blowing on you that early in the morning? Sparkles, I mean, are you going to keep it real or you want us to pass on you?
No, okay. We're going to... Yes, he could. But I would say something or divert his face or something where I wouldn't have to smell his breath. Okay? All right? That's keeping it real.
But we see it on television that they do this. So when we watch television, you see it for entertainment purposes. Doesn't life imitate art or art imitates life? So why would you divert his face so his breath isn't blowing on you? Why would you do that if you love him, for better or for worse?
I would. But, hey, you can only tolerate so much. Now, if it wasn't terribly bad, yes, you could. In the heat of passion, I guess you would ignore all of that. But.
Really? All right, we're going to ask you to stand by, Sparkles. Miss J, I got to come to you with this, Miss J, because... Sparkles laugh, but Miss J, you're going to come out. Miss J, he's 3 o'clock in the morning. He's blowing on you. He's been snoring up until that time, and then he wakes up and goes to the bathroom, but he decides, you know, he wants to get with you, Miss J. And he's like, baby, you're looking great, even at night. And he wants you to pull you over and say, give me a kiss, girl. So now what, Miss J?
You know, you say he got up and went to the bathroom. Hopefully he got up and went there and did a little mouth rinse or something because he knew what he wanted. So I'm hoping
he didn't do nothing with the mouth. He was trying to use the bathroom. He barely washed his hands. He was trying to, because you don't even know, but you know he brushed his teeth when he come back, because now he's trying to jump over there. Come here, girl. Come here. Come here. I got what you need, girl. So now what, Miss J?
I'm going to be like Sparkle. You know, I'll probably go in on that too. But I'm sure he knows whether he got a dragon or not, and I would hope that he wouldn't try to impose that on me. And if the gal for a while, he probably won't. We'll just take care of other business, and we'll save the kissing part for later.
But wait a minute, Miss J. Hold up. How can you be intimate without kissing, Miss J? I'm just asking the question. The man wants to kiss you passionately 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning.
Do I need to give you some 101?
Oh, come on, tell us, one-on-one over the live show.
I need to give you
one-on-one.
You know, you ain't got to kiss all the time, you know. You know, you take care of your purpose first thing. If he want to kiss me on my lip, we just won't be doing no tongue and all that other stuff. But, yeah, I kiss him with my mouth closed, do a little smack with it. That's cool.
All right, we're gonna ask you to stand by. Let's go once again to... Oh, we did have a caller there, but I guess they left us. All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. Pastor Rowe, if you want to kiss your lady in the middle of the night, why would, like Sparkle said, she's going to try to divert his face, you know, so he doesn't blow on her or breathe on her, but... Is she inferring that her breath is fresh at 3 o'clock in the morning? Pastor Rowe, talk to me.
Okay, I'm going to say it this way, very intelligently. Listen to what my friend and my sister Jay said, okay? And also listen to what Brother Bay said, B-U-I, Brother Bay, you know? He talked about upstairs and he talked about downstairs, you know.
Right.
And then Sister J mentioned about other business. Okay.
Right.
It's the way that you think, and I'll leave it at that.
All right. So we're going to ask you to stand by. Benny from the block, let's bring you in here. Thank you for your patience, Benny from the block. Benny from the block, are you there?
I am.
Okay, Benny from the block, this male, he writes in. He says, okay, no. Go to the next one now. They're telling me to go to the next. How about it in my teenage years? All right. Now, this male, he writes in, he says, this lady, she says, ladies, let's face it. As we get older, things do go south on us. Not that we can always help it. The young women have babies, and many of them don't do anything to stay in shape. As such, when they get older, it's harder to try to get back in the shape that you once had. I'm in my 40s with four children, and this is what happened to me. My husband couldn't stop looking at younger women, which ultimately led to our divorce. Yes, I do blame myself somewhat for not trying to stay in shape, even when he pleaded with me to walk, just like in tonight's story with him. And he begged me to go to the gym as well. I'm sorry I did not do any of those things, which caused me to lose my husband to someone else. Ladies, don't fool yourself because men are always on the prowl looking for something attractive. Benny from the block, as a man, do you think this lady has a point?
I think she has part of a point, and that's her perception is that all men are on the prowl looking for something. I don't agree with that. I don't think all men are on the prowl looking for something, and the reason I go to that is because he diligently tried to get her to go to the gym and do some other things. There is a communication that we as men give to women to kind of ring that bell. Hey, look, you know, I'm trying to tell you that I'm looking at you and I love you, but I want you to do something more to help improve yourself. And I don't think there's nothing wrong with that. Did she want to oblige that? No. So did she ultimately push him away? I don't want to say she ultimately pushed him away, but she had a part in it. So as husband and wives and boyfriends and significant others, we do want our significant other spouses to be at their best point for several reasons. One, the healthier you are, the better you are in your living and your life, the greater the movement you have. Even the word tells us, in him I move and have my very being. So we got to keep movement as a part of our life. I personally would have gotten her a personal gym, trainer to help her since she didn't want to physically go somewhere, but I would have brought him to the house or something. But that's just me. Not everybody can do that or have the means to do that. So there's a lot of things that we as men try to do with women. I don't want women to think that everything goes south. There's all kinds of methodologies and things you can use and get to help keep yourself in good shape, good health, and good physical being. I meet people like this all the time. But it is a effort. And if you have a partner, oh, you got a good thing, because two people working for the same common goal is always better than one individual having to do it by themselves.
All right. We're certainly going to ask you to stand by here. Let's go here. Mr. Bay, let me bring you back in here.
Okay.
Mr. Bay, do you think that this comment that the lady is talking to other ladies, she say, don't fool yourself because men are always on the prowl looking for something attractive. How reasonable is she being? Do you think that there's any validity to what she's saying?
Well, I think she's absolutely correct. There are a lot of, in my personal opinion, when she used the wrong term. There's a lot of males masquerading as men that's on the prowl. Because a man, what he's supposed to be doing is staying focused. First he gets his power. Then he gets the money, then he gets the girl. He don't get those three things mixed up. He don't go get the girl to help him get the money. So if he is a man, he understands that the female is the hunter, not the male. So when you see men out there, what you think is men out there trying to chase behind a woman and trying to rap and all this kind of business, he's a little bit confused, in my personal opinion. And the reason I'm saying this is because the men that taught me this were millionaires, and they had several families, several wives, and no confusion and they all live very, very lucrative lifestyles, and their children don't even know what it's like to work for another man on a job. And these are the men that educate me. First you get the power, which is the knowledge. Then you get the money. Then you get the girl, in that order. And she is the hunter and not you.
Well, you know, that's a very good point. That's a very good point that you're making. Get the power and so forth and so on. That's a very good point. We're just about out of time, you all. Michelle, you want to close us out in about 3 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Let me go ahead. Demon Slayer, I want to bring you in here, Demon Slayer, to get your thoughts on this here that, of course, some men, not all, but they're on the prowl, as this lady said to other women. They're looking for, you know, they're always going to be looking at something attractive. I think that that's a very valid point. I think women do the same thing. They're looking at something attractive. So are we getting it wrong by thinking this, Demon Slayer?
I don't think it's like that. I think it's got a lot to do with a wandering eye. Like you have a mate, just like we was talking about, you got a mate kind of like overweight or whatever, and she used to be fine, and now she's starting to do the wrong things of getting overweight. But then you start to have, you know, like a wandering eye. It's natural, but I don't think a lot of men, it depends on the person, really, their mentality or... Or they looking for someone, you know, you just want to just be by yourself and try to get closer to God and hope that your woman or your man choose to go to the gym and try to stay in shape. But I think it's a two-way street, you know what I mean? I think it's very important for you to stay in shape and be the best of your potential because your body is a temple, so you should take care of it like a car and service it.
Oh, okay. Very good. Very good. Very good. So, Demon Slayer, are you there?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So, Demon Slayer, so you think that there is some validity to that, what you just said?
I know, you know, when you get to the point where, you know, your mate is starting to get a little overweight, you know, you it's natural to look at a nice woman that's in shape, you know, nice and firm, and you might look over there. But if you have a wrong mentality, you're going to start staring and say, hey, that's a nice-looking woman and all that stuff. Then the demon spirit and the Jezebel spirit start to enter you and say, I'm going to try to talk to that woman while you're married. I don't think that's right. You know what I mean? You got to always stay close to God to keep that Jezebel spirit out of your mind.
All right, we're going to ask you to stand by. We're going to just bring Miss Jay in just a moment. And I've heard what everybody has said, but, you know, I see us all as human beings first. This is just my humble opinion. Before we take on any title, whether we take on a title of being this pastor or this this deacon or this clergy or this teacher, this medical doctor or doctor otherwise or lawyer or layperson, whomever we are, we're all human beings first, subject to making mistakes, subject to errors and everything. And in my experience as a therapist for a lot of years, that human eye, what we're able to see, is the first thing that usually attracts someone that you know that you want to go after or pursue. You know, anything, if anybody tells you anything else, they're not necessarily, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. There was a movie, Shallow Hal. I don't know if many of you saw that. But it's where Black, what's his name? Something Black. Joe Black? Was it Joe Black? He played in School of Rock as well. This guy is one of my favorite actors. And he played in that movie, Shallow Hal. And there was this big woman, but he thought she was the most beautiful woman that he had ever seen. But in his mind, he saw a thin woman that was very shapely. So, him was about the beauty being in the eye of the beholder. Michelle, close us out, please.
Okay. Appearance should not be the foundation of a relationship. It does not determine if it will fail or succeed. So we're going to be real. Now, most romantic relationships, I said romantic, because some relationships have other reasons for getting into it, like security, finance, the need for you to do certain things for them. And in cases like that, the look, shape, or size and all that really don't matter no way. But in a romantic relationship, it would involve some level of physical or sexual attraction. So look does matter to me. And the way you look can also affect how people perceive you and the type of people you will attract. And your appearance is one of the first things that people notice. It will create a first impression. And the relationship, as we said, based on looks only, will most likely end as soon as the looks start diminishing for whatever reason. And sadly to say, I say once again, I think I said this, that looks can have an expiration date. And if you don't take care of yourself like it did in this particular story tonight. And yes, sometimes people might say that, you know, I didn't get with him for his looks, you know, which could hold some truth to it. You know, you might have seen other things in them, like, you know, they smile or their style or maybe the way they carry themselves, the way they speak, their communication or whatever the case might be. And to me, all of that is an individual thing. It depends on what you like, you know. And no one shape or size can fit all. Whether you're big, small, tall, short, whatever the case might be, you got to love yourself first. And I say take care of your body, everybody. You know, do it for yourself first. And if in a relationship you do have to look and you have to continue looking, pleasing to your mate, or you might find yourself like Norma in the story dealing with other things that you wish you didn't have to. And that's all I have to say.
Ms. Jay, we certainly do appreciate your closing, as you often do, and we certainly appreciate that. We're completely out of time now, you all. Thank you all for joining us. We also want to thank Mr. Bay for joining us, first-time listener. We certainly appreciate him and hope he'll come back and join us another time. Listen, we're completely out of time, so tomorrow night's show is going to be, does it matter to God what we look like? Does it matter to God what we look like? So if you thought tonight's topic was a deep one, you don't want to miss tomorrow night's topic. And, of course, if you choose to bypass tomorrow night's topic, we'll be back here live next Thursday for the Dr. Jess Walker Show. Until tomorrow night, or until next week, I say to my listening audience, good night, God bless, and thank you, God. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Great closing.
Good night, everyone.
Hey, great closing. Outstanding pre-closing, Brother Lorenzo. You always do great.
You too, Pastor Roman, Miss David. Great comment.
Amen. Amen, 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 and amen.
I see y'all tomorrow night. Clean the
bathroom. All right. Take care, Sister Jay.
Thank you. You too.